When he speaks kindly, do not believe him. Welcome back to Hackberry House, a podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church in North Korea. My name is Bob. This is podcast number 462. It is May the 3rd, 2016. Well, Christian escapes and finds a new good friend, and some bad ones too, it looks like. Mr. Spurgeon won't be joining us for quite some time. We're going to be covering a lot of Pilgrim's Progress without him, so pay attention very carefully. The English is not quite the same as Spurgeon's, but I think we can get it. Now, I saw that there stood behind the multitude a chariot and a couple of horses waiting for Faithful, who, as soon as his adversaries had dispatched him, was taken up into it, and straightway was carried up to the clouds with sound of trumpet, the nearest way to the celestial gate. But as for Christian, he had some respite and was remanded back to prison. So he there retained and remained for a space, but He that overrules all things, having the power of their rage in his own hand, so wrought it about that Christian, for that time, escaped them and went his way. And as he went, he sang, saying, Well, Faithful, thou hast faithfully professed unto thy Lord, with him thou shalt be blessed. When faithless ones, with all their vain delights, are crying out under their hellish plights, Sing, Faithful, sing, and let thy name survive, for though they killed thee, thou art yet alive. Now I saw in my dream that Christian went not forth alone, for there was one whose name was Hopeful, being made so by the beholding of Christian and Faithful in their words and behavior, in their sufferings at the fair. Hopeful, who joined himself unto him, and entering into a brotherly covenant, told him that he would be his companion. Thus, one died to make testimony to the truth, and another rises out of his ashes to be a companion with Christian in his pilgrimage. This Hopeful also told Christian that there were many more of the men in the fair that would take their time and follow after. So I saw that quickly after they were got out of the fair, they overtook one that was going before them. His name was Byends, E-N-D-S, Byends. And so they said to him, What countryman, sir, and how far go you this way? He told them that he came from the town of Fair Speech, and he was going to the celestial city, but he told them not his name. From Fair Speech, said Christian, is there any good that lives there? Oh, yes, I hope. Pray, sir, what may I call you? Well, I am a stranger to you, and you to me. If you be going this way, I shall be glad of your company. If not, I must be content. This town of Fair Speech, said Christian, I've heard of it. And as I remember, they say it's a wealthy place. Yes. Yes, I will assure you that it is, and I have very many rich kindred there. Pray, who are your kindred there, if a man may be so bold? Well, almost the whole town, and in particular my lord Turnabout, my lord Time Server, my lord Fair Speech, from whose ancestors that town first took its name, also Mr. Smoothman, Mr. Facing Both Ways, Mr. Anything, and the parson of our parish, Mr. Two Tongues. He was my mother's own brother by father's side. And to tell you the truth, I am become a gentleman of good quality, yet my great-grandfather was but a waterman, looking one way and rowing another, and I got most of my estate by the same occupation. Are you a married man? Oh, yes, and my wife is a very virtuous woman. The daughter of a virtuous woman. She was my Lady Feigning's daughter. Therefore she came of a very honorable family, and has arrived to such a pitch of breeding that she knows how to carry it to all, even to prince and peasant. 'Tis true, we somewhat differ in religion from those of the stricter sort, yet but in two small points. First, we never strive against wind and tide, and secondly, we're always most zealous when religion goes in his silver slippers. We love much to walk with him in the street, if the sun shines and the people applaud him. Then Christian stepped a little aside to his fellow hopeful, saying, "It runs in my mind that this is one by-ends of fair speech, and if it be he, we have as very a knave in our company as dwelleth in all these parts." Then said hopeful, "Ask him, methinks, he should not be ashamed of his name." And so Christian came up with him again and said, "Sir, you talk as if you knew something more than all the world doth, and if I take not my mark amiss, I deem I have half a guess of you. Is not your name Mr. By-ends of fair speech?" "That is not my name, but indeed it is a nickname that is given me by some that cannot abide me, and I must be content to bear it as a reproach, as other good men have borne theirs before me." "But did you never give an occasion to men to call you by this name?" "Never, never. The worst that ever I did to give them an occasion to give me this name was that I had always the luck to jump in my judgment with the present way of the times, whatever it was, and my chance was to get thereby. But if things are thus cast upon me, let me count them a blessing. But let not the malicious load me therefore with reproach." "I thought indeed that you were the man that I had heard of. And to tell you what I think, I fear this name belongs to you more properly than you are willing that we should think it doth. Well, if you will thus imagine, I cannot help it. You shall find me a fair company keeper, if you can still admit me your associate. Well, if you will go with us, you must go against wind and tide, the which, I perceive, is against your opinion. You must also own religion in his rags, as well as when in his silver slippers, and stand by him, too, when bound in irons, as well as when he walketh the streets with applause. Well, you must not impose nor lord it over my faith. Leave me to my liberty, and let me go with you." "Not a step further, unless you will do in what I propound as we." Then said By-ends, "I shall never desert my old principles, since they are harmless and profitable. If I may not go with you, I must do as I did before you overtook me, even go by myself, until some overtake me that will be glad of my company." Now I saw in my dream that Christian and Hopeful forsook him, and kept their distance before him. But one of them, looking back, saw three men following Mr. By-ends, and behold, as they came up with him, he made them a very low congee, and they also gave him a compliment. The men's names were Mr. Hold the World, Mr. Money Love, and Mr. Save All, men that Mr. By-ends had formerly been acquainted with, for in their minority they were schoolfellows and taught by one Mr. Gripe Man, a schoolmaster in Love Gain, which is a market town in the county of Coveting in the north. This schoolmaster taught them the art of getting, either by violence, cozenage, flattery, lying, or by putting on a guise of religion. And these four gentlemen had attained much of the art of their master, so that they could each of them have kept such a school themselves. Well, when they had, as I said, thus saluted each other, Mr. Moneylove said to Mr. By-ends, "Who are they upon the road before us?" For Christian and Hopeful were yet within view. "Oh, they are a couple of far countrymen that, after their mode, are going on pilgrimage." Moneylove says, "Alas, why did they not stay, that we might have had their good company? For they and we and you, sir, I hope, are all going on pilgrimage." by ends. We are so indeed. But the men before us are so rigid, and love so much their own notions, and do also so lightly esteem the opinion of others, that let a man be never so godly, yet if he jumps not with them in all things, they thrust him quite out of their company. Mr. Save All. That's bad. But we read of some that are righteous overmuch, and such men's rigidness prevails with them to judge and condemn all but themselves. But I pray, what and how many were the things wherein you differed? Byens said, Why, they, after their headstrong manner, conclude that it is their duty to rush on their journey all weathers, and I am for waiting for wind and tide. They are for hazarding all for God at a clap, and I am for taking all advantages to secure my life and estate. They are for holding their notions, though all other men be against them. But I am for religion in what, and so far as, the times and my safety will bear it. They are for religion when in rags and contempt. I am for him when he walks in his golden slippers, in the sunshine, and with applause. Mr. Hold the World then said, Aye, and hold you there still, good Mr. Byans, for by my part I can count him but a fool, that having the liberty to keep what he has, shall be so unwise as to lose it. Let us be wise as serpents. It's best to make hay when the sun shines. You see how the bee lieth still all winter, and bestirs her only when she can have profit with pleasure. God sends sometimes rain, and sometimes sunshine. If they be such fools to go through the first, yet let us be content to take fair weather along with us. For my part, I like that religion best that will stand with the security of God's good blessings upon us. For who can imagine that is ruled by his reason, since God has bestowed upon us the good things of this life, but that he would have us keep them for his sake? Abraham and Solomon grew rich in religion, and Job says that a good man shall lay up gold as dust. But he must not be such as the men before us, if they be as you have described them. Then Mr. Save-All said, I think that we are all agreed in this matter, and therefore there needs no more words about it. Mr. Moneylove said, No, there needs no more words about this matter indeed. For he that believes neither scripture nor reason, and you see we have both on our side, and neither knows his own liberty, nor seeks his own safety. Mr. Byans, my brethren, we are, as you see, going all on pilgrimage, and for our better diversion from things that are bad, give me leave to propound unto you this question. Suppose a man, a minister, or a tradesman, or so, whatever, should have an advantage lie before him to get the good blessings of this life, yet so as that he can by no means come by them, except in appearance at least he becomes extraordinarily zealous in some points of religion that he meddled not with before. May he not use this means to attain his end, and yet be a right honest man? Mr. Moneylove responded, I see the bottom of your question, and with these gentlemen's good leave, I will endeavor to shape you an answer, and first to speak to your question as it concerns a minister himself. And suppose a minister, a worthy man, possessed but of a very small benefice, and has in his eye a greater, more fat and plump by far. He has also now an opportunity of getting of it, yet so as by being more studious, by preaching more frequently and zealously, and because the temper of the people requires it, by altering of some of his principles. For my part, I see no reason, but a man may do this, provided he has a call. Aye, and more a great deal besides, and yet be an honest man. For why? One, his desire of a greater benefice is lawful. This cannot be contradicted, since 'tis set before him by providence. And so then he may get it if he can, making no question for conscience' sake. And two, besides, his desire after that benefice makes him more studious, a more zealous preacher, and so on, and so makes him a better man, yea, makes him better improve his parts, which is according to the mind of God. And three, as for his complying with the temper of his people by dissenting to serve them some of his principles, this argueth first that he is of a self-denying temper, second, he is of a sweet and winning deportment, and third, he's so more fit for the ministerial function. Four, I conclude then that a minister that changes a small for a great should not for so doing be judged as covetous, but rather, since he is improved in his parts and industry hereby, be counted as one that pursues his call and the opportunity put into his hand to do good. Now there's a second part to this question which regarded the tradesman, and we don't have time for that today. We'll pick it up right there tomorrow in the middle of a discussion between some very, well, we won't judge them, will we? We'll let the story play itself out. It's good to have you with me today, and I hope that you'll be back tomorrow. While you're here at sermonaudio.com, at my own website in Sermon Audio, I hope you'll check out my various portions of the website. I have here a Through the Bible course you might be interested in. I have Bible commentaries and a whole lot more. Why don't you check out the list of sermons that are on there? And be blessed, be blessed. Well, we started with Proverbs 26:25. Good wisdom here. When he speaks kindly, this evil man, do not believe him.